If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
I thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
The men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt
I love this land.
Love this land.
God bless the USA.
God bless the USA.
Wow. Well, Thumper, good morning and welcome
morning,
to Connecting the Dots. I want to thank Lee Greenwood and the Singing Sergeants for our opening song.
Fantastic
way to open the show. Today we've got a really, really good program in mind, and we're going to be talking to a couple of really good special friends. We're going to be talking about how if they can control the food supply, they can control the people. And right now online with me is my good friend Mindy Patterson and my exceptionally good friend Debbie Boskalupi. And I'm really tickled to have you ladies on this morning. We're going to be talking about how they have been destroying small farms and ranches and the attempts to end animal husbandry in the United States. And Mindy Patterson is president and a co-founder of the Cavalry Group, which is a group formed to advocate and defend for private property rights and small farmers and ranchers and law-abiding animal owners and pet-related businesses. Debbie Boskalupi, we have had Debbie on a number of times as well, and Debbie's a rancher from California, but she's also an exceptional lady. She's run for Congress, U.S. Congress. She has worked with us on Red Pill Expo. She's been involved internationally in the expose of UN Agenda 21. She spent literally a number of trips worldwide to attend the UN conferences on UN Agenda 21 and 2030. And I tell you what, I've got the perfect team today to be talking about what we're going to be talking about. Ladies, welcome.
I got one more thing to add in there, Dan.
Okay, shoot.
Debbie was one of the very first interviews that I did on Patriot Soapbox when we first got started.
Oh, really? Oh. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to do a lot more. And she's going to be, actually, I'm going to mention this while we're thinking about it. Debbie and I are going to be doing a skit on Cloward and Piven to open the next Red Pill Expo in Rapid City, South Dakota this summer. So we're going to be doing a Cloward and Piven. That ought to be interesting. Talk about a change of shirt. That certainly is it. Going from blue, and blue to just plain old red.
that'll be worth just driving to South Dakota for.
It really will. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mindy, welcome to the program. Debbie, welcome to the program. I guess we'll start with you, Mindy. Working with legislatures all over the country because there are so many attacks right now on animal rights, animal husbandry. They're supposedly trying to defend animal rights, but in fact what they're doing is they're destroying the ability for people to have not only pets but also to raise chickens, pigs, cattle, you name it. They're going after everything. And these people are nuts, but I'll let you take it from there.
They are nuts. Good morning, and thank you for having me. It's always great to be on your show. Good morning, Thumper. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Well, as we tell our members, and we are, you know, we have members in the continental 48 states all across the country, people who raise, breed, and work with animals, from dog breeders to cattle ranchers. What we're right in the thick of things right now with the state legislative sessions in all 50 states. We monitor all the bills, and as well as the local ordinances and city councils and county commissioners and at the federal level. So we're always very busy reading bills, digging into the root of what, you know, legislation has in mind when they put these things out there. But At the very root of it, we always tell our members, the legislative battle is ground zero in protecting your rights to raise, breed, and work with animals. And you're right, Dan. A lot of these bills that are introduced have nothing to do with animal welfare. They put that out there as the veil to hide behind, to tug at the emotional strings of lawmakers to get things passed. But oftentimes these bills, most of the time, these bills have nothing to do with the animals themselves, because what they do is insert language deep in the bill in a 17-page, 35-page bill that is basically takes away due process. We've seen that about 20 times this year alone in states from Tennessee to Rhode Island, Colorado, Oklahoma, Missouri. I mean, these animal rights groups introduce legislation that claims to increase welfare standards for animals, but they embed language that will allow for animal control to come on somebody's property and seize animals without a warrant, or being able to obtain a warrant without probable cause or without a witnessed affidavit. This stuff is real. It is happening. And what is bad about that, somebody will say, well, the Constitution is the highest law in the land. You know, we're protected by the Constitution. That is absolutely true. However, when these laws pass and they become the law in that jurisdiction, unfortunately, it empowers local animal control to come in and usurp those powers, and you have to go and defend yourself or sue the city or municipality or the state. These things are happening incrementally across the country. And I say that because incrementalism, as you and I have talked about before, is truly our greatest enemy, because these radical groups, environmental extremists, animal rights extremists, are getting these laws passed. This year, just a quick point that I'd like to make as a follow-up to that is that what I'm seeing this year is very disturbing. More than ever, I am witnessing lawmakers on the House Agriculture and Senate Agriculture committees in state houses across the country who have been endorsed by local animal rights groups, or even the larger national animal rights groups. They're endorsed by the Humane Society of the United States or endorsed by PETA. Oftentimes states will have statewide animal rights groups who are funded by the larger ones, such as in Texas, it's the Texas Humane Legislative Network. In Missouri, it's the Missouri Alliance for Animal Legislation. These groups have something over these lawmakers in agriculture committees that are making laws that oversee animal owners and animal-related businesses, farmers and ranchers in very important states. It doesn't, I mean, you would expect that from California, perhaps, but not Missouri, not Texas. It is insane, and it's very disturbing. We just had a hearing on our bill that we wrote in an effort to go on offense. We wrote a piece of legislation called the Working Animal Protection Act that was introduced in four states this year. And we had a hearing last week in Texas in the House Agriculture Committee, and I didn't learn till after the hearing that 8 out of the 10 members of the House Agriculture Committee were endorsed by the Texas Humane Legislative Network. Therefore, our bill will go nowhere. Now, if this was a bill that would drive a stake in the heart of, you know, dog breeders or cattle ranchers, oh, it would have passed willy-nilly. That's what's happening across the country. And, you know, I respect the process of passing legislation. I know it's not easy and it's not supposed to be easy, but why is it so easy for the extremists? And it's not easy for us to pass preemptive legislation to protect private ownership of private property or protect our Second Amendment or protect farmers and ranchers. I find it really disturbing. And we have to all work together to pull back the veil to expose this and what these lawmakers are doing against America.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. One of the things that they do that makes it so easy for them to get their way is they learn how to demonize things to make it sound the best way they can possibly make it sound. In other words, you know, the legislation, now they'll use one or two examples of a really, really bad animal husbandry. And they'll use that to try to change the entire language of the whole industry. And, you know, those people ought to be the people who are, let's say, guilty of these infractions. They ought to be dealt with. There's no question about that. But there's already laws on the books that take care of that. In fact, there's probably more than enough laws. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to change the entire makeup of all the animal, all the private property rights in America, so that they can change the United States into a country that no longer recognizes private property. This is all part of, and Mindy, you mentioned you'd like to talk about the Green New Deal. We're going to be talking about UN Agenda 21, UN Agenda 2030, the Green New Deal, all this stuff, how it all comes together. That's the reason I wanted Debbie to be on the program with us this morning, because she, as you well know, is very, very up to speed on all the things that are going on in that regard. So very definitely, we'll be talking a lot about the Green New Deal this morning. Debbie, I see you're ready for us here. Good to see you, my dear. Thank you for joining us this morning. And please tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in this whole movement as well. Okay, you need to unmute. There we go.
Okay, so I first have to start off with, I was rushing around, even though I was on, I just got Elon Musk's Starlink. Have you guys heard of that?
Mm-mm.
The Starlink internet service. It's supposed to, and it's supposed to be available for or ideal for people in rural America, because it's a dish where you can get on the internet. It's $100 a month. I can't remember how much I had to pay in the beginning, but $100 a month, and you get endless internet data. So anyway, it worked last night, of course, and this morning, for some reason, the Starlink hasn't found the satellite yet, but it's amazing. It follows, you can watch it, and it just follows the satellite wherever it's going. So anyway, and it's super fast. So anyway, so I'm bummed. I thought this was going to be my first call that I get to use it, but instead, okay. So my background, as you can see, is rural, farm fresh eggs. We have chickens. I just got 4 new ducks, baby ducks. They're in this closet, this behind this door, no joke, are 4 baby ducks. In front of me are 2 baby lavender Orpingtons, Mindy, lavender Orpingtons. And to my left in my living room, I'm in the kitchen right now. That's why the farm fresh eggs sign is a baby calf, a cow, who probably has a pneumonia now, but her mom's 19. She isn't producing enough milk. So we almost lost this calf. Her name is Penelope Barker, named after one of the founding mothers. And so, and then cows in front of me, and you know, it's just, so my background is rural. My background is my love for animals. I mean, you know what? Somebody said to me the other day, Dan, Mindy, and Thumper, my sister, it was not just somebody. She said, you know what? You should go on a date. And here's what my response back immediately was. You know what, Kristen? I would rather go talk to Jefferson. Jefferson is my big 1 year, 2 month old bull who's now so big and wants to play that I'm going to get hurt. So I would rather go talk to Jefferson than get ready for a date, because my love, love, love is animals, wildlife, being in nature. A bird hits a window, which happens, guys, everywhere. I'm sorry. There's natural fatalities in the nature world. And, you know, my love is to get to that bird before a cat or a dog or something, a raccoon, a skunk gets to that bird and heal it back and then let it go. That is my love. In fact, thinking about it, you guys, makes me want to cry. I love, that's my passion. So what we're talking about today is extremely disgusting, disturbing, humiliating to me. I go to the United Nations meetings, as Dan, you've mentioned. I've been to, I think, at least 10 now. And I go, you know, nobody pays me to go. Nobody pays my way. And I go with people like Alex Newman, Mark Morano of Climate Depot, Craig Rucker of CFAC.org. I go with Lord Christopher Monckton, who's a love of all of ours. I go with Dr. Will Happer, who was Trump's science czar in the first, or Trump science advisor in the first year of Trump's administration. I go with Dr. Willie Soon, who is by far the greatest leading astrophysicist in the world. Fred Singer, the late Fred Singer, all these great people who go to these conferences. And I go because I want firsthand information about what's going on. I want that firsthand information that I'm not just repeating somebody else's talking point. They're mine. And the hypocrisy on their end, on these globalists, the United Nations, and the they here is anyone you want the they to be. It could be the CFR, it could be the trilateral, it could be, you know, as Patrick has alerted us so well, Patrick Wood, the technocrats. Whoever the they is, they are controlling. They want, I can't say they're necessarily greedy, but in some cases they are absolutely greedy. I can't blanket them. They are the communists. They are the social Fabianists. Those are the they. Here's the other way I put the they. They are the anti-human humans. They are the people who do not want us to have freedom and liberty. They are the cheaters. They are the liars. They are the people who, instead of winning, their strategy for their opponent is to make their opponent lose. That's you and me. They're not about winning, the they, because if they were about winning, it'd be Al Gore would be debating Mark Morano on climate change. But that's not going to happen because Al Gore would lose the debate. So that's not going to happen. So the strategy is to make us lose. And what are we losing? We're losing big time. Absolutely big time. I know we're going to get into it. So my background is as a cattle rancher. I am sixth generation cattle ranching. We originally came from Italy, and I moved to the ranch full time. I think 3 years ago, I moved out of the Bay Area. And I just couldn't handle the one Bay Area plan that I could see before me. Which is a regional plan happening everywhere around the United States, but the official region that was voted in by a COG, a Council of Government, back in, I think it was June of 2000. Oh gosh, I want to say 13. It might have been later than that. So a regional plan where all your city and county borders soon disappear. So that means your vote disappears. So I just saw it unfolding before my eyes, and I had to get out of the San Francisco Bay Area, even though we're seventh generation San Franciscan and from Oakland. And I lived there for over 20 years. I have to tell you, the Bay Area is a neat place. The people aren't so neat, but it's a beautiful area, so near so many things. So anyway, a little bit more about my background. I used to work for Google, and it was at Google in 2007 and 2008 where I was in charge of, as a professional meeting planner, I was in charge of all the speakers, famous speakers, authors, famous people coming into Google, our headquartered campus in Mountain View. And I was responsible for doing YouTube's Christmas party. That was one thing. And doing, 2 week waves of 600 engineers in Hawaii. That was a fun one. So I was in charge of all the people who would come in, most of them, not all of them, who would come in, authors at Google, filmmakers at Google, presidents at Google. And you could see some of these on YouTube where these people who were coming in, mostly famous people, would speak to the Googlers. Googlers are Google employees. And we'd live stream it wherever Google had offices at that time, not all over the world, but many places throughout the world. And then they'd give away their books to Googlers, all the books would be free. So if it was, I can't even think of an author right now, but they would hand out the books for free and Google would pay for those books. And so anyway, a couple speakers who came through were Ben Cohen of Ben and Jerry. And Ben and Jerry, as you all know, is ice cream. And here I am, so excited to meet him. I didn't know about Agenda 21, but at the time, there were water issues already starting to happen, not on our ranch, but that would impact our ranch. For example, at that time, they were requiring, even though it wasn't a law, they being whoever you want them to be, but the evil people, right? In this case, it was the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And now it's Fish and Game as of 2013. 2013, again, a special year. So there were water issues that would require us to have a permit given to us by the state on our own property to cross the river that runs through our property. So if I had a quad, or if I had a Jeep or dad's tractors or our trucks or anything like that, it would also require, if you're going to put a bridge over so that you could go from our permanent pasture is across the river. It's beautiful. One of our permanent pastures. And it's that way. It's right there. I can see it. That's why I'm doing that. Anyway, so that was going on. And what Ben and Jerry, back to Google. So here I am, 1 foot in rural America, 1 foot in the city, Silicon Valley. And Ben Cohen, so I was so excited to meet him. And his talk was about how bad cows are for the climate. This was back in 2007, I believe, or 2008, one of the two. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? Have you seen what my parents had done to their land? Put in ponds. We used to be able to fix the river when it flooded over. Now you can't fix the river and it's just supposed to run wherever. And so all those things. And then I had almost done here, guys. And then I had Barack Obama come. So in 2008, it was all the presidential candidates. And there was this guy who came through, Barack Obama, never heard of him. But as far as the person setting up his event, there, I had to set up for over 400 media. In other words, plugs so that they could get, the finest of audio. And I had to buy a whole new stage set. And I bought red leather chairs. So funny now that I think about that, I bought red leather chairs. I mean, they're like satanic leather chairs. So thinking back now. And then I got to meet Barack Obama. And when I met him, I don't remember what he talked about except for running for president and, probably a lot of other accolades. I met his wife, Michelle, too. But afterwards, we had a cocktail party set up for him. And three people, you may have heard of some of these people, Sheryl Sandberg, who's CEO of Facebook, Elliot Schrage, who is with Facebook. And I can't remember if it was Eric Schmidt. It was Eric Schmidt who Alphabet, you all know Eric Schmidt. He got hired by Google because Google found out not only did he have high-tech background as a CEO, but he also went to Burning Man. And that is what supposedly sealed the deal for Eric Schmidt. Anyway, all three of those people came up and introduced me to Barack Obama, saying, hey, this is the person who set it up. And all three times, like a robot, Barack Obama said, thank you for making me look so good. And I think by the third time, I was like, who is this character? So anyway, all of that and so much more brought me to where I saw something was wrong. And I had to connect the dots. And I went on this mad search and found Agenda 21, found Lord Christopher Monckton online, found Michael Shaw online, and found a doctor, Dr. Rima, who her video was all about Codex Alimentarius in international food law. And what she was saying in her video frightened me. She said, someday, fast forward to today, amazing, vitamin C, someday you will need a prescription for. And if you think about vitamin C being one of the keys to preventing things like COVID, and they want you to wear a muzzle and a muffle instead of taking vitamin C and D and zinc and all these other things that would help build your immune system and make you stop eating sugar and start exercising and drink some water and all those things. No, you got to get vaccinated and you have to have a muzzle and you have to have a muffle and it's in your face. Mm-hmm. There.
Absolutely. Sorry, well, Debbie, the one thing I say about Marxism, they have a very common goal. They love humanity. They just hate humans. And so they do everything in their power to make our lives miserable and destroy humans. But, oh, they love humanity. They absolutely love it. Mindy, we're going to be talking about just exactly how the Green New Deal and Agenda 21 figures into what's going on now in the animal husbandry industry. And I have to tell you, Debbie, your comments about the red leather chairs, I wonder if they realized where leather comes from. And of all people who ought to appreciate cattle, cows, you would think Ben and Jerry's, but maybe they're making their ice cream out of something else now. So, okay, Mindy, back to you. Let's talk about the Green New Deal and how that all fits in.
Well, just to take it to the very beginning, this is a question. So it's my understanding that the Green New Deal is a resolution or a plan to usher in regulatory reform to tackle climate change. So because it's a resolution, that means it's a non-binding thing, right? So nothing in it 21. Would become law. Right, yeah. Exactly.
So Agenda 21, but then President Clinton initiated the President's Council on Environmental Initiatives. Mm-hmm. And of course, with that, everything became, maybe it wasn't law, but all the regulations started to happen. That's exactly how they do it.
So with the intention of weaning off the United States from fossil fuels and to avoid what they consider to be planetary destruction, they've implemented these plans through Agenda 21 and the Green New Deal. And the Green New Deal, of course, it was introduced by Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Markey from Massachusetts. So they're going to use this as the springboard to instill fear in Congress and the American people into passing laws which will implement regulatory reform, which will then be the boot on the neck of farmers and ranchers. And it's, you know, this is where I begin all of my presentations about how blessed we are in America, because our farmers and ranchers today are doing more with less. Today we have it's probably a lot less than 1.5% of our U.S. population are farmers and ranchers. Debbie, is it closer to just 1% now, do you think?
I've heard 1%, and I think under COVID, I know some people have sold off their cows for a couple reasons, yeah, but also because of the economy. So I bet you it's less than that, Mindy. I wouldn't be a bit
surprised. I bet it is. And the dairy industry was especially hit hard, as well as the cat. They've all been hit hard. So we've got this small percentage of Americans who are growing and raising our food who we should be revering and holding dear. And here we are trying to put them out of business, throw them under the bus, and, you know, force us to import more food, if possible, from foreign countries, much like we've been dependent on foreign energy. How did that work out for us? Not well. So this Green New Deal is, you know, AKA, also known as just a plain old fear tactic to wean the American people off of fossil fuels. And so when I say laws that are passing to instill regulatory reform, we saw this happen at rapid pace under the Obama administration, and we are now poised to see a rapid fire instilling of regulatory reform through the alphabet agencies like USDA and the FDA. They will promulgate rules through their rulemaking process, which I consider to be a complete farce because it bypasses Congress. Even if something were to go through Congress, a lot of the congressional members and senators will be bamboozled by the false narrative of the Green New Deal and this counterfeit of climate change. There's not a crisis here, but they're going to implement get these new laws passed under this false notion or false narrative that, you know, we have a crisis to solve. And that is just absolutely ridiculous. So I see this happen every day with the animal welfare reform. They create a crisis. We do not have an animal welfare crisis in our country. And I'm like Debbie. I have grown up with animals my entire life, and I've owned, been a horse owner most of my life. I grew up in Southern California when agriculture was king. We were surrounded by farmers and ranchers. And it was at a time when everyone celebrated the bounty, if you will, on a daily basis. We loved our farmers and ranchers, and today they're besmirched. And I find it really offensive. I found this out firsthand when my husband and I ran a campaign against HSUS in the state of Missouri in 2010. And the narrative that was coming out of the urban cities, St. Louis and Kansas City, and newspaper op-eds, they were calling farmers and ranchers horrible, horrible names. Mm-hmm. These are the people who are feeding us. So I began to see that, you know, the people who seem to control this messaging are the ones who are convincing lawmakers, following the trail to where this stuff is coming from, where these new regulations that are destroying our country, waters of the U.S., all of these USDA rules that are, you know, tightening the noose. It really tightening the noose incrementally on farmers and ranchers and those who raise, breed, and work with animals. You know, I'm like Debbie. I love animals. I would never promote anything that would bring harm. But the problem is that these laws that are getting passed are betraying Americans and lawmakers both by leading them to believe that we have a crisis in the U.S. In animal welfare. And as you said early, Dan, we already have laws on the books. Most people who are raising, breeding, working with animals on a regular basis are regulated at the state and federal level, at the very least, oftentimes at the local level as well, adhering to local ordinances. It's exhausting. It's amazing to me that people stay in business because there are so many hoops to jump through. Welfare is always at the forefront of people who raise animals, because if you think about it, it doesn't really make sense to abuse your animals if you're, you know,
making a living from them.
Making a living. But that brings up a whole nother point, because the animal rights groups believe that we are exploiting animals by making a profit, raising animals for food, raising animals for pets. You know, all these things that they are controlling the narrative about and pushing forward this emotional agenda, which is just nothing but lies. But people need to stop and think about what these things really truly mean. And it's not solving a problem. It's ushering in more regulations to destroy us from within. And that's really what this means. So the Green New Deal says that it's a grand plan to tackle climate change. And the spokespeople who are out there promoting this notion that, you know, we have a crisis on our hands was invented specifically so they can usher in, you know, things that are counter to what we need. And it's just going to destroy businesses, destroy family farms, less farms, less food. You know, like you said, control the food, control the people. And as far as Agenda 21 goes, you know, Debbie is truly the expert on this. But one of the things that I revisited, because I have also studied Agenda 21, but just the tip of the iceberg, not like Debbie has taken a deep dive into many facets of this. But when agriculture is concerned, people need to understand that the sustainable development movement, also known as Agenda 2030, the things they consider not to be sustainable are things like grazing livestock, meat consumption, CAFOs or confined animal feeding operations, plowing of soil, building fences, single family homes, power lines, paved roads, logging and timber, dams and reservoirs, ski runs. You know, these are all things that we've, you know, heard a little bit about. Have you seen the regulatory reform that's taking place in places like California or Los Angeles specifically, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where they are passing laws to stop single family home ownership?
Yeah,
I mean, people are buying into this. It's crazy. Well,
Mindy, and I'm going to throw this out, and then I want you and Debbie to talk about it. But this has never been about sustainability. It's never been about the United States destroying the environment and all the stuff they're talking about, because, in fact, the United States is leading the world in clean environment, in improving our water, improving our land, in reducing the amount of chemicals in the soil. We are actually doing better than the rest of the world. Now, they give Red China a pass to do whatever they want, okay, because they're communists. And the people that are behind this whole movement are communists. It's not about the environment. It's about redistribution of wealth from Americans to the rest of the world, and then taking everything that we've worked hard to achieve and throwing it under the bus in the name of a collectivism being better for the world. Okay?
Yes. Well, the triple bottom line. Triple bottom line is what you've just touched on, the social, economic, and environmental platforms that they're using to implement Agenda 21, like you just mentioned.
Debbie, you destroying know this us, as well. You know this as well. I mean, it's like you said, it's not about winning. It's about making us lose. The United States right now, as the wealthiest people in the world, they're trying to completely destroy the American middle class. I think the COVID thing is a perfect example of that. They didn't shut down the mega businesses. They didn't shut down the Walmarts. They didn't even shut down the strip joints, but they shut down the churches and they shut down all the local mom and pop stores and said they're completely off limits. Well, guess what? In the process of doing that, they're destroying the middle class, and they know that. That's why they're doing it. And they couch it on all these warm and fuzzy things. They're trying to save us. I'm sure you've recently seen where Biden and O'Harris are both trying to get people, mayors and governors and people around the country, to put the face mask mandate back in play, where everybody is restricted and controlled, and they put that damn face diaper on you. And I'll tell you what, I won't wear it. I absolutely will not wear the damn thing. Anyway, go ahead, Debbie. Tell us what you're thinking.
What do you want me to say, that they're a bunch of quacks? You want me to say that they're a bunch of quacks? Hey, Thumper, I'm one-upping you. Thumper had his dog on. Now I have one of my ducks. This is Darcy Vader, like Darth Vader. And so anyway, maybe you'll see some more animals. People, this is all about animals. So wait, Darcy Vader may need to go back with the, hold on, with the, yeah. It's just right here in this door. You see this door right here? We're going in
this
door.
I'd show her Q, but he wandered off. Q the cat, this is his official spot right here. He is the executive producer of the program, so when he's here doing his job, that's where he does it from.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I can one up that with the calf, but Mindy could one up us all. Oh no, maybe if I get a cow in, but Mindy has horses nearby. Our horses are way out. They are way out. The show would be long over by the time I got the horses in. But Jefferson and Susan B. Anthony and Blondie, almost blind cow, are just out my window. I see them there. So Mindy, if you get an animal, I'm going to have to one up you, babe. So anyway, or Thumper or Cam. So a couple things. The Green New Deal, if you remember, going back to the Green New Deal really quickly, remember back in 2008, and I probably remember this fairly well because Jill Stein was one of the people who, presidential candidates who came through Google. And back then she was pushing, in fact, I have the Communist Green Party USA, the Green New Deal, right in front of me. And the Green New Deal, as Mindy mentioned, is about climate change and going to 100% renewable by the year 2030. There's so much hypocrisy right there. Mm-hmm. So A, you can never go 100% renewable because all the pieces that go into 100% renewable are fossil fuel, are petroleum based. So you can, I mean, it's just such a misnomer. And everything, all, as you guys know about me, I love to tell people, especially if they say they're a vegan, you can never, ever, ever, ever be vegan or vegetarian. Ever, 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 ever for the rest of your life, ever, ever, ever. Or never, ever, ever were you, going back to when you were an embryo in your mama's womb. And we believed you had life back then and you deserved to come out and have life and live a full life as a free person in the United States of America with your God-given rights. Because if government can give, man can give you your rights, man can take them away. So don't let them think that if you were unwanted baby that your mom had a choice to either get rid of you or not. That is nonsense. It's not about women's choice. And by the way, while I'm on that, because we were just in, or we still are, Women's History Month or Women's, you know, whatever, International Women Month, there is nowhere in the Constitution that says you as a woman could not vote. Nowhere. So when you hear, yeah, women couldn't vote, no, they just didn't practice voting for whatever reason. Maybe the husband said, no, you can't, but it nowhere says that. So anyway, the Green New Deal was the Green Party USA. And so it's so Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez absolutely brought it forward and made it popular, but it was the Green Party USA that back in 2016 announced it to the public. It was supposed to be just like FDR's New Deal. And the Green New Deal also includes, so not only about climate change, but it's also about poverty and providing jobs for everyone and lifting up the poor. So it really is a lot in here. And the Green New Deal, as we've been saying, is not going away. It's not. We're going to get pieces of it, whether we like it or not. Let's see, Dan, you were talking. So yes, the anti-human humanists are all about control. So you're right. It's not about a clean environment, as they like to preach, because the United States is the leader in improving the environment. Are there areas where that could use improvement? Absolutely. There always is. But we don't need a one size fits all, one size here being a global government system where the United Nations, and this is true, the United Nations wants to be the police over the environment. So if we're going to go along with the Green New Deal, which matches what the United Nations is up to, there's a soft nudge to keep going. So it's, there's an indoctrination going on. There's a, you know what, Dan, we were talking about it the other day, the submersive ideology. So you, or using things like 9/11, or using other things like Sandy Hook, all those things are nudging people to change their behavior based on an ideology that they're hearing, a narrative that they're hearing over and over again. Like, what about 9/11? Do we keep hearing over and over again? Never forget. What? And I guarantee with COVID, it's going to be something like, shoot, what's the mantra that they keep saying? It's something about
for
other
your
people.
Own good.
So something like you're supposed and for it, others' good, right? It's yeah, for your
it's,
own good.
It's for your own good and for neighbor. Everybody else. Yep, yep, yep.
Yes, yes. And you're rude, you're insensitive, you're unkind if you don't get a vaccine, if you don't stick yourself with, you know, experimental drug and wait to see what it does in your body for the rest of your life. If you don't do that, then you are unkind and you're not, you know, you're not thinking of your neighbors and the other people around you. You're selfish. And so that's what they call capitalism too. They say it's selfish and it's greedy. And yet if you look at capitalism and taking care of ourselves and being stewards of the land, it is all about caring. It is all about caring for either nature as a steward of the land, as a rancher of the land, as a farmer of the land, as the owner of your home and taking. I've seen Dan's home. I've seen the yard. It's spectacular. Dan takes care of his home. He takes care of the environment around his home. So whether or not you have a big, you know, sprawling 10,000 acre ranch, which we don't have, but if you have a sprawling ranch or you have a, you know, 1200 square foot home with a tiny backyard, it is your responsibility as the owner, in my opinion, you don't have to, but to be the steward of that plot, to be the steward of that environment. But these people don't think that we can take care of the environment. They think they can. And this is why it's about control. And so, you know, capitalism, going back to capitalism, I wanted to make the point that capitalism is not about greed. Businesses don't get into business or they're not going to survive if it's all about making money. They're providing businesses, are providing private businesses. I'm talking about here because that's under capitalism, which is under threat by the ideology, you know, the schooling ideologist in universities saying that capitalism contributes. Oh, by the way, the Green New Deal is also about social justice. Mm-hmm. So capitalism, these guys say, is all, it's about white supremacy. It's about the rich getting richer. Capitalism is, it's a colonial system where critical race theory, under critical race theory, which is another word for social justice, critical race theory, which we hear everywhere, is all about giving, if you're a Black woman, single mom, who had a horrible upbringing, you get to go first in the line of getting a job, is how this turns out. So it's, but if you're a man, if you're a male and a white male especially, you are responsible for the injustice, the social injustice that's going on. In other words, we have a system that's set up unfairly towards minorities and discriminates extraordinarily for whites and further white male. So you've remember, you know, you called it O'Biden, O'Harris. Remember, which I know is kind of a kickoff of the Obama administration now unfolding under the Harris, Biden, or the Hyden administration, is you remember in 2015, I believe it was, Barack Obama stood on a world stage and said, we are just 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And if you look at all the things that we've talked about right now, animal ownership, the Green New Deal, Mindy mentioned that they don't want you having single family homes. Why? They want to push you into multifamily homes. And that was happening in the Bay Area under what they call priority development areas and priority conservation areas. So under a regional plan, they're going to push this too. So they want to protect certain areas, and then they want to allow you to build in certain areas. And that's the priority development areas and priority conservation areas. So priority conservation areas, you can no longer build there. But a priority development area, for example, if you have a single family home and it happens to burn down, you have to rebuild it with a multifamily home, not a single family home, in those priority development areas, which happen to be along multimodal corridors. In other words, high speed rail, transit, bus lines, you know, right along what we call for like a great, well, a,
they call them urban corridors, transit corridors. Yeah.
Transit corridors. So, you know, and if you think about all the things that we've said, it's about total control. And how do they totally control us? Well, they have to monitor and surveil us all the time to make sure that we are following their rules. And so, you know, and I know I want to throw this in here because I love his work, Patrick Wood, on technocracy. And I used to think about Agenda 21. Okay, so when it dawned on me, Pat could be right that we are heading towards a technocratic scientific dictatorship. And I totally agree with that. And there are technocrats who are driving the bus there. You know, I used to think about Agenda 21. I'd argue with Pat. No, Agenda, I've studied it. I know Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century. It is the agenda for the 21st century. It is an agenda to one world governance. And Pat says, yes, 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 that's true. But the end game is a scientific dictatorship. And I thought, okay, well, maybe he's right, because what happens in the 22nd century? Just like the 2030 agenda is a stepping stone for Agenda 21, which is a 100-year plan. 2030 is just a big stepping stone for them to implement this 100-year plan, and it's aggressive. It will be fundamental transformation, not just the United States of America, but your life. It goes into your home. It goes into your business. It goes into your health. It goes into your finances. It's huge. So, but Dan and I were talking the other day about technocrats. Not all these people who are driving this are technocrats. Some of them are just pure evil. Some of them, Kamala Harris, I don't think she's a technocrat. I think she is a communist. So there's a lot of factors, is what I'm trying to say, pushing us towards and all of it goes to a one system. So it might be a technocratic dictatorship, but it's moving us to a one world system. And the United Nations is working really, really hard. I hope we have time to go into this, to implement what they call wild law, nature law, which goes right in the heart of what we're talking about today, where nature has rights and can take you to court, nature being animals as well. And they will have earth jurisprudence lawyers who will defend them. And this is happening all over the world right now. Biggest examples I could think of right now, you know, is a river, right, Mindy, in New Zealand. And even the Klamath River, which, you know, I live in the Klamath Basin. It's the largest dam destruction project. They're not destroying the dams yet, but that's their goal. And even they've tried, the Indian tribes have tried to claim that the Klamath River is a living, breathing body that has personhood to it. So then they can say, you know what? We're representing the Klamath River in court, and you can no longer take the water from that river and water your crops or give water to your fields. So you have grass-fed cows, right? You can no longer do that because you are harming this river, this body, by taking water away and distributing it elsewhere. Meanwhile, all these rivers, when they destroy the dams, are adding to their sea rise argument. So a lot in there, but I hope that somehow Dan answered your question.
Yeah, well, really what, you know, I'm getting at here is that every time they talk about UN Agenda 21, about the Green New Deal, about animal rights, about all this stuff, it's always focused on one thing, and that we as Americans have a unique sensibility about property rights, about private property. They are getting rid of private property because, frankly, communism cannot be part of any program that allows individuals to have private property. And so with this collectivist mentality, and it's all knitted together, it's all part of this big plan. It's, if you will, it's connecting the dots between communism, Marxism, fascism. They use all the tools they can, but the bottom line is they're getting rid of the individual right to own property and to turn us into property. We are becoming property. We're becoming property of the state, and it's irrelevant how successful capitalism and private property has been, because we all know one thing. You take better care of your own car than you do a rental car. As the old saying goes, you don't wash a rental car. If you want to see the worst abusers in the world of the environment, take a look at the control economies of the world. They're the ones that destroy the environment. Mindy, take that one.
Well, you nailed it. It's about the rights of the individual, which are protected under the Constitution, or God-given rights, by the way, which are protected under the Constitution versus collectivism. You know, that's the platform. There are so many different elements that are coming into play and we're seeing unfold before our eyes right now. I think it's really important for people to, you know, who are watching this, who are overwhelmed by a lot of this information, because when I'm sure you've all witnessed this, people just get overwhelmed with all of this information and they think, what can I do? Well, the first thing people need to do is defend the Constitution. And, you know, it's really important to defend our founding principles, because our founders knew that if private property, if we lost ownership of private property, our country would collapse. And we are on that precipice now. And it's all about private property is the foundation for everything. And private property doesn't just mean land, it's your person, as you just pointed out. And I think the second thing people can do is fine-tune their skills for discernment. You know, don't just take everything for face value. Do your research, find out who's behind, do your research on these companies that sound like they're out there to protect you, because likely they're not. You need to find out where their funding comes from, find out what their motives are, find out who the people are on the board. Have some discernment, be willing to pull back the veil, dig deep, and find out, you know, more about the companies that you, or the organizations rather, that you are donating to and supporting. The other thing people can do is get involved in your local areas and pay attention to what is happening in your local government. But also, if you would, pay attention to what's being passed in your state legislatures. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's so quick to turn to the federal level, and that's important too. But what is happening in your own backyard? What is happening in your planning and zoning commission? What is happening in your school? What is being taught to our kids? What is happening in your local city council and your county commission? This is where the sausage is made, so to speak. And, you know, as I talked about deceptive legislation, that's where a lot of this is happening. And you know, Debbie is truly well versed on all of the tentacles that come into play on a lot of this regulatory reform having to do with everything in our lives that pertain to private property. But it's difficult to get overwhelmed by all those things. Focus on the local level. People want to take action. There's a lot of people out there who are realizing that they are more and more under the thumb of government and they don't like it. And pay attention to our elections. You know, one of the things that has really been disturbing to me this year, since we're watchdogs for the state legislatures, and I want to see more election integrity bills being introduced. Montana has introduced one. I don't know where it is right now in the state house. I know that Florida has introduced one, but where are they? You know, we've just gone through a very tumultuous election, and, you know, everyone is questioning the process and the integrity. We need to do away with, the voter machines and get back to voter ID. Why not? You know, why shouldn't we have voter ID? Maybe do away with the machines, do away with mail-in ballots. We will be completely done. Check the box. You know, we're over if we do not have honest and fair elections. And we knew that this last November. I've known that for years, quite honestly, being involved politically in Missouri and fighting ballot initiatives and other things. And, you know, you file in with the ethics commission in, you know, whatever state you're in, that there's election fraud, and nothing was ever done. You know, nothing really was handled. So we really need to tackle that. All these things are issues that citizens out there can work together to take action, get involved. People need a to-do list. They need an action plan. They want to be able to, even if it's a click a tab and send a letter to your lawmakers, people do want to do something. They just don't know what to do. I think that's really important in engaging Americans in this battle to save our founding principles. And and along those lines, you know, I've always made the association with being able to identify the counterfeit. You know, everything that has been discussed today has been something that sounds great, but it's been delivered in this platter of, you know, this is what we need to do because we need to save the earth. We need to save the animals. We need to save this. And really what it's doing, and Debbie laid this out, when we are prosperous, when our nation is prosperous based on our system of capitalism, that is when we take things into our own hands as individuals and take better care of everything, whether it's the environment, it's our animals, you know, but they want to squelch that. They're vilifying profit. They're vilifying capitalism and all these things that has always been part of our system, where if that's all goes away, it's, you want to see pollution? Mm-hmm. You know, you want to see, just go to California, look at all the homeless people, look at Tent City, look at all the pollution that is taking place in the urban areas, the crime, that's the byproduct of businesses being shut down and government control. To be free.
In China, Mandy, if you go to China, you won't see the level of crime there because they kill criminals there. Don't worry about going through a criminal justice system. They just get rid of them. But the bottom line is the pollution in the country is just phenomenal. I mean, they could care less about the environment. Communism does not work. And what you're talking about, people getting involved in the United States, people need to understand one thing. Freedom is not a spectator sport. Freedom requires personal involvement. If you want to be free, you've got to get politically active. You've got to protect your children, your grandchildren, and yourself by being involved.
Yeah. There's no magic pixie dust to it either. You know, it really, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of elbow grease, you know, whether you're running a campaign to fight a ballot initiative, whether you're working to oppose legislation, it all is just so much work. And we need to expand our team, if you will, to fight back. One of the things I would like to touch on, if you don't mind, there are two ballot measures that have been introduced by animal rights groups. One is in Oregon, called the Initiative Petition 13, that is basically wanting to destroy animal agriculture. And I, you know, the name of it is just ridiculous. These animal rights groups are getting very bold because they don't hide behind a sweet sounding name anymore. Now they're just putting their agenda flat out there. But it's basically to tighten the noose, as I said before, on regulatory reform to put farmers and ranchers out of business. And it's similar to Measure 16 in Colorado, which I know more about, so I'll go more into that. But it's called the PAUSE Act, P-A-U-S-E. Mm-hmm. And that stands for Protect Animals from Unnecessary Suffering and Exploitation. So, as I said before, what's exploitation of animals? Anybody who raises animals for profit, for food, you know, you're in the crosshairs. So this basically is restricted slaughter for, it would basically mandate that if you raise cattle, you have to let the cattle live out their natural life until they're 20 before you slaughter them for food. Chickens, 6 years, pigs, you know, they have an assignment of a year allotment for each animal species. And what's really frightening on this piece of legislation is, and I've said for years to people, they're coming after coming after farmers and ranchers to redefine the term husbandry. And this legislation, this ballot initiative will do that. And it basically wants to make criminals out of farmers and ranchers who practice things like artificial insemination, fertility testing for their animals, castration. You know, if you raise dogs, removing dew claws, docking tails, taking it into your own hands, things, husbandry practices, time tested through generations that have been handed down from generation to generation, people who have done these things on their own. They don't need veterinarian oversight necessarily. It's not that they don't use veterinarians, but a lot of these practices are just done by the farmers and ranchers themselves. It will criminalize these husbandry practices and put an end to them. If that were to happen, if this were to pass in Colorado, and currently where this is, it's been approved by the Secretary of State, and they are now the proponents of this legislation, of this Measure 16, are gathering signatures, and they only have to gather 125 signatures for this to be on the ballot of the 2022 ballot in Colorado. If they don't withdraw this ballot initiative sometime between now and November of 2022, I suspect they might, because there's a lot of opposition to this. But if it does end up on the ballot, the ballot summary will be something that, if people are not well-informed about what this means, well-intended animal lovers will vote for this thinking, oh, I love cows and I love animals. Of course we do. We all do. But these animals are raised for food, and it will completely destroy our food producers in the state of Colorado. There's a lot of cattle ranchers. And so people need to understand, as I said before, this is regulatory reform that will tighten the noose of people who raise, breed, and work with animals and raise animals for food. And the ballot initiative process is interesting too, because in the United States, there are only 24 states that allow the ballot initiative process. And the Humane Society of the United States has, since 1990, has passed 33 ballot measures since 1990, negatively impacting hunting, fishing, animal agriculture, the pet industry, and matters pertaining to ownership of private property. So the ballot initiative process is always used frequently by these animal rights groups, because what do? They just basically put forth all these commercials. They just flood the airwaves, radio and TV, with sad images, like you said earlier, Dan, unscrupulous operators that technically speaking, are already illegal or wouldn't be allowed if truly inspected. But they prey upon those images of things that may not already be legal or good operators to send a message to the voter that this is how animal agriculture proceeds in the United States, which is absolutely a lie. You know, are there bad operators out there? Sure. But it's the minority of individuals, not it's the exception, not the rule. So people need to remember that and have discernment. As I said earlier, you need to be able to recognize the counterfeit and recognize what they're trying to spoon feed you through the media instead of, you know, doing your homework and realizing what this regulatory reform will do. And regulatory reform in agriculture does what? Well, if animal agriculture and farmers and ranchers were to go away in Colorado, what would it do? It would raise the cost of meat, milk, eggs, pets, and livestock, and therefore reduce the total production of these things and weaken the economic structure of animal agribusiness. So what they would then do, if this were to pass in Colorado, what would they do? It would set a precedent and they'd go on to the next state, or they would pass it at the federal level. This is important for people to understand how this works. It's not a mystery once you understand what they are trying to achieve. And it's all optics. And you need to really be able to when we fought the ballot initiative that HSUS brought to Missouri 11 years ago, it was really interesting because the people who were most effective in helping us put forth the campaign to oppose this ballot initiative were, you know, our goal was to get to the voters in the urban areas because that's where the people tend to be who don't know where their food comes from. It's just a fact. And so what we ended up doing was implementing the Liberty Movement. And those are people who may not necessarily own animals or livestock, but they understood that it was a issue of ownership of private property. It was a private property issue. And so we use that as the springboard to get to voters in the urban areas. And Americans don't like to be lied to. And I'm here to tell you that these two measures that have been introduced as ballot initiatives in Oregon and Colorado, they are betraying the citizens of those states by leading them to believe that it's about animal welfare. And it's not. It's about destroying animal agriculture and destruction of private property. So,
yeah, it's always back
if you
to
want to oppose, it is. And if you want to help us, no, not at all. I was just going to add quickly that if your viewers want to help oppose the Colorado Measure 16, they can go to a website, stoppause.org. And again, that's P-A-U-S-E, stoppause.org. And it is some liberty-minded individuals that have organized a campaign to fight back. They know that this isn't about animal agriculture necessarily as much as it is ownership of private property. It's a liberty matter.
Well, it always goes back to the same thing. It's always about private property, because if they can destroy private property, they can destroy individualism, and they can destroy private property. They've got their way. That's why they call it creeping socialism. You mentioned how incrementalism works with socialism, and it's, you know, it's a natural process. They never give up. They never stop moving forward. The thing you learn about socialists or communists or any of these groups that are so driven is that even if you stop them temporarily, behind the scenes, they're planning their next move, and they're going to continue to keep working on this stuff. Americans need to understand this. We, as a culture, naturally want to believe in the good of people around them. You've got to understand, communists don't understand that ideology, and they are going to come at you until they own everything you own until they destroy everything you hold dear. Debbie, I see you and Thumper with your cats. It makes me feel bad, makes me jealous. We had our pud cat. I think you saw my little black and white pud cat when you were up in Montana. I was petting him just before Thanksgiving. He was 16 and a half, but he was starting to lose some of his hearing and he wasn't quite as active as normal. Anyway, I was petting him and we put him out to do his business and he never came back. I think a coyote got him. And so we lost our pud cat, but all I can say, this whole group, coyotes, stinking
we should
coyotes.
Get rid of coyotes. And I mean, that was total social inequity because the coyote has bigger teeth. That is not fair. And so we need to make it fair somehow. Maybe we can geoengineer cats to have bigger teeth so that they can fairly fight back. How about that?
Well, Pudcat, I've got a feeling he actually did that quite a few times. I don't know if you remember, he had one ear that was frozen off because he was treated by a coyote in 20 below weather for 5 days. And when he came home, one of his ears was completely frozen off. But that cat was a survivor, and it just makes me sad because we love our animals so much. The farming and ranching community and the people in the West, there's not a greater group of animal lovers in the entire world. And we take good care of our animals, even if they're beef cattle and things like that, because we recognize that if they're healthy and they're in good condition and well cared for, they're much better animals, they're much happier animals. And bottom line is we take good care of our animals.
Yeah. Well, you know, absolutely. What? I remember Karen Bud Fallon. We did a big, back in 2010, we did here in Siskiyou County, which is Northern California. So Mindy's absolutely right. I hope you guys can't hear this, but my calf, Penelope Barker, to my left here, named after a founding mother, is peeing, but I have a bunch of puppy pee pads. So I should have invested in puppy pee pads. But anyway, it's all good, you guys. My living room is immaculate and she's in a little penned area. And in just a bit, I'll open the door and I'll open the gate the gates that are around her. And she gets to go down the ramp. I don't have a deck put in yet around my farmhouse here. And so she goes down the ramp and she goes and finds Blondie, the blindish cow, who's the mother of Susan B. Anthony. And she steals milk if Blondie will let her. Blondie's going to kick her. This is how nature works. Blondie wants to preserve all that milk for Susan B. Anthony. So when you have Penelope Barker coming up and trying to steal some milk, the cow naturally, and it's very hard when you have try and have two calves that aren't twins born by the same cow, feeding off the same cow's udder. But so Blondie will either knock this calf, Penelope Barker, down, she'll push her away, she'll kick her, all those things. And I, as a human being, am going to intervene because I don't want Penelope to get hurt. So because we care for our animals. And whether or not this cow, Penelope Barker, ends up being a mom cow for the rest of her life on this ranch, or she may be a beef cow, because if she's not, you know, she's not getting enough nutrients, which I hope she is. Here's the other thing I've got to do with this calf. She will not take from the bottle. So, which a lot of times you get a calf sucking from a bottle. For whatever reason, she hates all nipples on bottles. So how do I feed her? And this is such a time-consuming process. I take a syringe. I make her milk. She doesn't like calf replacement milk. I have to buy whole milk And I buy organic whole milk because I want this calf to have the best opportunity she can for whatever her lifespan is. I want it to be better than it could have been on her own at this point. So I have to take a syringe, fill up the syringe. It's only like this long. It's only 2 ounces. And slowly feed. Now they could take 4 quarts a day of feed. So can you imagine 2 ounces and trying to get 4 quarts into her? It takes a long time. I have to massage her. I have to take care of so that she's not, you know, feeling like, oh my gosh, the syringe is a bad thing. She's shoving food down my, you know, squirting food down my throat. And so anyway, after she
Debbie, can I say something? Can I say something? As an old farm kid, if she won't take a bottle, you can take one of those big long yellow rubber gloves that for cleaning houses and cleaning floors and stuff with the big with the fingers in it, and you can actually fill out full of milk. A lot of times they'll take that thinking it's an udder.
We tried, and she won't do it. So anyway, all of that to say, the extraordinary efforts we go into to take care of our animals, no matter their lifespan, no matter, and this goes to what Mindy said about the Oregon bill, which by the way, they're trying to do, and Mindy knows this too, about dairy farmers in Oregon. They're trying to tell dairy farms in Oregon that you can no longer add to your dairy farm. So this is, so it's going to stop any expansion on your dairy farm. I mean, it's incredible. So no matter what this lifestyle span is of this cow, whether she's a beef cow or she's a mom cow for the rest of her life on this ranch. And if she's a beef cow, everyone, she's not just a beef cow. 99% of all of the cow that goes through the harvesting, the slaughter, to end up to be a meat, you know, piece of hamburger on a cheap hamburger, inexpensive hamburger on a poor person's, you know, in a poor person's home that is so nutrient dense. 3 ounces of beef is all the protein you need in a day to survive. And of course, they want to move us to plant-based diets, they being whoever the they you want them to be. But anyway, no matter what, if Penelope Barker ends up being a beef cow, then her hooves are used for something. Her ears are used for, you know, to feed your dog, to give your dog a nice treat. The blood is used for, and the fat is used to make parts. In fact, your computer that you're looking at right now to watch this show and interact with us and to hear us and put your headphones on and your eye seeing glasses and the lipstick that you're wearing and the makeup and the shampoo and the clothing detergent and the dishwashing detergent, all those things and so many, many, many more.
And the red leather chairs for Barack Obama.
And those red leather chairs, which Michelle Obama later on came up to me and said, can you tell me where you got those red leather chairs? By the way, I think I spent like Google money, like $4,000 or $5,000 on each chair. So there are two. Anyway, I mean, they were fabulous chairs, but anyway, fabulous red chairs. So when people are talking about, so this is like, if there was a Mindy, okay, so here's where Mindy is like more extraordinary than anyone I know when it comes to the battle that we're all in. So I'm big picture. I'm like educate, like if everybody knew what was going on, it's like, you know, the FedEx logo. Once you see the arrow in the FedEx logo, you can never, ever unsee it. Once you see the smile in Amazon, you know, Amazon's logo, and you see the arrow goes from A to Z. I'm not sure if it's for you guys, if this way, is this A over here and this B is Z, or is this A and Z? What is it? AZ or AZ? What's forward for you guys? Is this forward?
Yeah.
Am I pointing forward for you?
No. Okay.
To the left.
The other way. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
So if you look at the Amazon logo, it's It's an arrow that looks like a smiley face, and it's on the A and it's on the Z, which is a subliminal message that Amazon loves to deliver, is happy to deliver everything from A to Z. Mm-hmm. FedEx logo, when you see the arrow in between the E and the X, the big E and the little X, FedEx, that's a subliminal message saying, and it's part of the redesign of Federal Express's logo to FedEx, that FedEx forwards things. It forwards things. So mine is big picture. And once people start seeing the big picture, they can start seeing those symbols that they can never unsee of this global governance scheme, this one agenda to one world governance scheme. Mindy is extraordinary at giving you the tools to watch for locally and giving you something to do. Like, hey, you guys, write a letter, join Calvary Group. And we've got letters going out to these politicians. All you have to do is hit, put your name in and send. So, you know, and I don't have that. Mindy has that. And so I'm just going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to give you the big picture. I'm going to be able to say, you know, there's no, you know, this is really what's happening. I go to the United Nations meetings and I hear firsthand what these yahoos are up to. So I just want to give Mindy a shout out for that. Mindy, your work is impeccable. It's extraordinary. And it's so time consuming.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Debbie. Well, you're always welcome to piggyback on our tools. You know, we share with like-minded people who are fighting for ownership of private property and liberty. I mean, if there's an issue out there that we need to join forces, let's, you know, use our letter campaign and, you know, get it out to people. We're happy to share. So, and I mean that.
You can also write an article.
We can work together on these things.
Yeah. And if something's happening in your area, whoever's watching this, and it's related to animal husbandry. Animal husbandry is, you know, the raising of animals. And by the way, not all our animals get processed. And so, you know, there's, our cows are beautiful. The cows are the moms, by the way. There's steers, which are bulls that were rubber banded. And so instead of cutting off their testicles, we rubber band. And it's, it doesn't hurt. I mean, it may be an annoyance, but it's humane. It's not,
you have that choice. You're the owner and you get to decide what's best for your animals. So whether you decide to keep them or send them to be processed for food, that should be your decision. It shouldn't be government's decision.
That's really,
you know, what is important about these ballot initiatives, because it's government telling us what to do. So.
Well, and again, going back to what we talked about earlier, it's all about private property. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, yeah. Debbie.
Okay, I'm fired up really quickly. I got to add this in here. Talk about inhumane. Violating your child's body for the rest of his or her or their, what's that other non-gender, whatever they're calling them. Talk about violation. Talk about inhumane. Forcing your child with a vax experimental drug that you have no idea the impact, and yet people want to come on a ranch or a farm and say, because that cow is, you know, you don't give that cow enough space to run. Let me tell you, cows don't run much. They don't. And, you know, so yeah, are there, I mean, the calves do, you know, when they run, when a government collared, necklaced, tracked, GPS vaccine pumped wolf from Canada is imported to the United States. That's what makes your cows run. Because like our cows, they've never seen wolves before. There's never been wolves on our property. And now we have a collared wolf from Oregon that was originally supposedly from Wyoming. And in Wyoming and Idaho, wolves were transplanted from Canada. And so, and then they dispersed. Yeah. So anyway, so Dan, I think you had a thought about the vaccines. How dare you violate your child's body for the rest of your child's life without knowing the harm, the effects of that experimental drug and all the ingredients, all the ingredients of the non-tested supposed COVID vaccine that's going to allow you to travel and give you now a passport, a COVID passport, where you can go into stores and get on a plane. I mean, oh gosh, you guys got me started. I'll mute.
All coming in on those coattails. And, you know, you've been at this hard at work, Debbie, and pulling back the veil on this whole thing. And my hat is off to you on that. But again, where's the discernment from the American people to be able to recognize what is really happening? It's concerning because they're following along like sheep. And we're lucky to have you out there sounding the alarm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, if we're going to go into the COVID thing, I'm cool with that because we're supposed to have Mickey Willis on, trying to get that set up now. We planned originally to have him on Sunday with his Plandemic 2 movie, but they censor us when we even talk about how these vaccines are put together. And the fact is, the vaccines are put together with hydroplasm that has nanochips and artificial intelligence and RNA and DNA modifiers in them and chips that allow them to identify us and track us and also at the same time to identify whether or not we've been vaccinated. I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. It's so Orwellian. You couldn't make this stuff up. And yet people are supposed to trust the government or trust somebody to put this crap in their kids' arms. And Debbie, you're right. And especially when you understand that some of them have to be refrigerated to 70 below zero temperatures or something happens to them. Tell me exactly what about this doesn't make sense.
Well, and now they're trying to, I've seen recently in headlines that they're saying the way to herd immunity. So we're bringing this back to animals, herd, like an animal mm-hmm. herd. I love it, you guys. It's just all weaving together, is by having teenagers vaccinated with a COVID vaccine. Is that true? I think I've seen that in headlines.
Well, they're talking about vaccinating everybody in spite of the fact that the young people don't transmit the disease and they very low likelihood they'll ever get it. I mean, it's so small that it's minuscule. And if you look at the numbers that they've ginned, and I use the term gin these numbers, to try to make COVID look like, a real killer. And in fact, when you sort out what really is COVID and what isn't COVID, this is not even a good flu season, the number of deaths. It's not even a good flu season, yet they've convinced our whole country, our whole economy to shut itself down because this is so terrifying. Well, guess what? I'm not terrified and I don't give a damn.
Amen. You know, I challenge everybody to go to your public health department, wherever it is locally, and find out what the last year and this year's flu numbers are. And mm-hmm. if you're like my area,
they stop
counting the flu. They don't have them. Mm-hmm. So interesting, right? I can tie this all together with a document, COVID biodiversity, which is, saying that, like the river has rights and climate change. I found a document back in January that is, and I'd never heard of this before. I've heard about harmony with nature, which is part of Agenda 21. They want everything to go back to nature. And when we're talking nature, it's trees, it's deer, it's plant, fauna, flora, it's wolves, it's where the Indian native tribes used to live, and we supposedly stole their land. which there's now a stolen land movement. If you go to a United Nations meeting and they get into their chants, they'll say things like, shame on you, shame on you. The shame on you is that you're extracting resources like fossil fuel, petroleum from the ground. And then the stolen land comes shortly after that. And the stolen land, there's a stolen land movement map where if you look at the United States, every inch of the United States of America has a section over it where there are tribes who are claiming that is our property. And I can tell you there's lies in that because the Shasta Nation, Shasta people who had who roamed in this area where the ranch is, the Karuk, I call them the Karukid tribe, the Karuk are claiming that their territory goes way into Shasta territory. But if you look at history books, so there's still a war going on, a huge war, as you know, Dan, because you have Elaine Willman, a huge war going on with tribes. And by the way, you know, when we go to these United Nations meetings and even in your local areas, I guarantee you're going to have to pay homage to whatever tribe was there, supposedly there before you. I say supposedly because somebody came before the tribes. How far are we going to go back? Where are we going to draw the line in this part of Agenda 21, one of the three E's, one of the three pillars that Mindy mentioned earlier, the social equity portion of it. And you know, going back to private property, every species, everything has private property. In other words, it has a territory in which it lives and calls its home. Are things displaced? Yes. Has that happened throughout history? Yes. Has that happened pre-human existence? Yes. That is history. And there is nothing I know you want to control it out there, you theys. I know you want to control it, but you cannot control the displacement of things. You can't. We know you want to try to do that to human beings because you're an anti-human human, but it is just in nature. So anyway, speaking of nature, I stumbled upon a website called harmonywithnatureun.org. And let me just read just a few things about how they tie COVID into Agenda 21 and climate change. Here's what the document says. First of all, devising a new world will require a new relationship with the earth and with humankind's own existence. Since 2009, the aim of the United Nations has been on adopting 9 resolutions on harmony with nature. Go to harmonywithnatureun.org, friends. Let's see. We recognize, here's what they say, that planet Earth and its ecosystems are our home and that Mother Earth is a common expression in a number of countries and regions. And we note that some countries recognize the rights of nature in the context of the promotion of sustainable development. So there they go. They tied sustainable development, which is Agenda 21, which is the three E's that Mindy, social equity, environmental justice, and economic justice, they've tied it with sustainable development. How do we save planet Earth, everybody? Is there, how do we do it? According to Biden, Harris, Obama, Al Gore, we live a sustainable development lifestyle. And all those things that Mindy mentioned earlier, no dam building, no livestock raising, no paddocks, no fencing, anything that serves human needs. This is in their document, the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, is all unsustainable. Ski runs, golf resorts, scuba diving, cars, all those things, single family
nature.
Homes.
So anyway,
speaking of nature, I stumbled upon a website called harmonywithnatureun.org. And let me just read.
Thumper, something's going on here.
How they tie COVID into Agenda 21 and climate change.
Thumper, something's going on with our audio here.
A new world will require a new relationship with the earth and with humankind's own existence. Since 2009, the aim of the United
Nations... Thumper, something's going on with our audio here. Can you help us with this?
There we go. It's gone. Okay. So getting back. So I'm glad he replayed that. Glad he replayed that because it reminds me of where I wanted to go. So in this document called, it's under, again, harmonywithnatureun.org. It gives an overview of where we're heading over the next several years to the year 2030. It's a long document and there's like 81, 87 different things that you can look at. Okay. So it says this in this document. So we're going to, you're going to see for the first time this year that Mother Earth Day is now called International Mother Earth Day. International Mother Earth Day. We are moving towards international law when it comes to the environment, which absolutely goes on with animal husbandry and how we take care of the environment and how we take care of animals. Because remember, under their agenda, animals have rights just like humans. Animals deserve, and whether it's a farm animal or a ranch animal, the ownership of an animal, as Mindy would tell you, they're trying to change it to where you are, what is it, Mindy? A caretaker. What is it that they... What's the term they use, Mindy?
Steward.
You're not an owner anymore. You're steward.
Which steward is of the animals.
In other words, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a guardian. Guardian. They're wanting to implement guardianship laws. That's what's happening, where you never really own the animal. You're just a guardian. So that's really scary. You're right. They're taking away private property rights. Yep. With our words.
So. It says in this present report that I'm reading from, the Secretary General, the UN, stresses that the process of recovery from COVID-19 provides a unique opportunity to build back better. Remember Biden's slogan? It's actually a United Nations slogan. Build back better together so as to transform the world into one where humans truly live in harmony with nature. Early findings on the links between biodiversity, climate change, and the COVID-19 outbreak will be included in the panel report that's coming out this year. At present, the measures being taken to counter the dangers associated with COVID-19 pandemic resemble some of the steps required for tackling climate change. In other words, no more travel, walk, bike, take public transportation everywhere you go. And finally, on this document, it goes into so much, you guys, it's incredible. So number 81, so you'll see things here. So this is one of the final conclusions, then I'll go to 81 and then hand this back. Throughout its 75-year history, the United Nations history, the United Nations has given a voice to the voiceless. Responsibility now lies with the UN to be the champion of non-anthropocentrism and a voice on behalf of the natural world, and to play a lead role for the 21st century global earth-centered transition in which the lives of all human and non-human species matter. Okay, so let's take this locally. And this is my final thought right now on this. Number 81 on this document. This is a recent document, as you can tell. In the United States, the Democratic National Committee Council, so the DNC, on environment and climate crisis, in its environmental and climate policy recommendations for the 2020 Democratic Party platform, with regard to biodiversity and nature, called for the 4th of June, 2020, for the establishment of a commission, Dan, for a commission similar to the President's Council on Sustainable Development, which Dan brought up earlier. This was under Executive Order 12852 by President Clinton and Al Gore. Imagine that. To explore incorporating rights of nature principles into United States law. In Florida, for example, various counties were advancing ballot votes on the rights of rivers to naturally exist, flourish, regenerate, evolve, and rehydrate, and on their right to restoration. A committee in Orange County was aiming to have rights granted to the Wakiva River and the Econocohatchee River. Petitioners in Alachua County were campaigning to have the Santa Fe River Bill of Rights passed. And citizens of Lee County were striving for the adoption of the Bill of Rights. In 2016, you guys, the Democratic Party platform, these are my notes, commission states that, quote, nature in all its forms has the right to exist, persist, maintain, and regenerate its vital cycles, which goes back to Mindy talking about the bills that are being pushed in Oregon and Colorado, where they're saying that these animals need to live longer. This is nudging towards animals will live in their existence forever without humans ever harvesting, which is why the need for plant-based diets and vertical farms, which are laboratory farms, and the push for 3D printing to mimic which the World Economic Forum and people like Eric Schmidt, formerly of Google, are pushing to have lab-raised meat. This is extraordinary, and I hope together we're tying this big picture together.
Yeah, I hope so too, because it all goes back to the same thing. And Mindy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut in on you, but we always get back to the same thing, and it's a lack of private property. Understand, we are being attacked by international Marxism, socialism, fascism, you can call it whatever you want, but the bottom line is they want to destroy individuals' rights to own property, period. Okay, I'm sorry, Mindy, go ahead.
Not at all. You're absolutely right. And this segues into the issue of meat consumption, which was on that list that Debbie and I talked about of things that are considered unsustainable by this global agenda under UN Agenda 21, 2030. And people need to understand, and this is why I keep telling people, the legislative battle is ground zero. We have to show up to fight this and inform our lawmakers, because they're passing things that they don't even know what they're passing and what they're doing. Meat, real meat, isn't going to be outright banned. What they're going to do is, with through regulatory reform, make it so difficult for farmers and ranchers to grow and raise our food, they're just going to fold up their tent and go home. They're going to give up. They're going to be regulated out of business, out of business. So what's going to replace, so meat will still be on the shelves in the grocery store, but it will be for the wealthy elite, and it will be extremely expensive. And the only other protein option will be Beyond Meat or other plant-based protein that mimics meat.
How about Soylent Green?
And that's Soylent Green. That is what their plan is, to replace that. But that's how they're going to do it. They'll make it affordable. Hey, it tastes just like meat, you know, this fake bacon. But that's what's going to be available to feed your families if we don't stop this through this regulatory reform and wake up to this notion that nature has rights. I had not seen this website yet, Debbie, this Harmony with Nature, UN.org. Wow. I mean, here's the thing about our enemies, okay? They put everything in plain view. As I said earlier, they're not even trying to conceal their agenda anymore. I mean, this ballot initiative in Colorado, they named Protect Animals from Unnecessary Suffering and Exploitation. And who's going to vote against that? No one wants animals to suffer. So people who aren't paying attention or aren't willing to do a little extra footwork to find out what's really behind it and the truth behind things are just going to vote for things on the surface. That's what our lawmakers are doing. And that's why we are in such big trouble. And we need to be getting back to revering our farmers and ranchers instead of throwing them under the bus, or we are going to be importing more food from foreign countries where there are no regulations at all for welfare standards or environmental standards. Zero. Okay. We do things incredibly well here in the U.S. and things are have oversight and as you know to, for the safety of our food. But you know, are we perfect? No, but we are still better than importing things from countries that have no standards at all. So mm-hmm. I think that it's really important for people to my takeaway message for today for your listeners and viewers is to remember that the animal rights agenda is political, and it's incrementally chipping away at Americans' views and to alter their views about animal ownership, animal use. And they're doing this through the media, through our schools, through legislation, even through litigation. You know, Debbie touched on the habeas corpus issues. They're doing this through litigation to make it sound normal to give constitutional rights to animals and rivers. This is not okay. And, you know, with rights come responsibilities. So remember that their goal is to end animal use in every capacity, whether you are reliant on biomedical research, food, entertainment, sports, zoos, fishing, hunting, raising dogs, you know, from the steak on your plate to the pet on your lap, they are coming for you and your rights to own animals and animal use through the legislative process at the local, state, and federal level. I request your viewers today to visit our website at thecalvarygroup.com and click the Take Action tab and join our team to help fight back. We can't do this alone. So we need boots on the ground all over the country. So, you know, join us in this fight to help preserve our rights.
Mindy, while we're on the subject here, I would like to give you an opportunity to talk about the platform that you and your husband put together. And incidentally, I did receive your ball caps at Christmas time. Thank you so much. I wore one of those caps to Washington, D.C., where we went on January 6th. We didn't go to the Capitol, almost thank God, because I knew they were going to use that anyway. But we went there to support the president and to support fair elections. And awesome. I wore your cap with pride. So talk a little bit about the group.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we started a new media platform because at the Calvary Group, we were being censored all over the place, from news organizations to, you know, of course, Facebook and other social media platforms. So we, under the advisement of our general counsel and my husband's idea, and Debbie has met Alexander Penalta, our general counsel for the Calvary Group, we decided to launch our own media platform. It's called New Territory Media. And so we have our own team of people who are writing for us and putting information out there. We've been, you know, promoting Dan Happel's Connecting the Dots and the articles that you write. And I would love to have Debbie include some things about Agenda 21, 2030. It's just to get the truth out there, to be another voice in the wilderness, so to speak, we have taken a short hiatus from that because of legislative session, but we still have people, we post articles and things, but it hasn't, you know, we're getting ready to get back to that being a more of a focus as we mm-hmm. go forward. But we've been so consumed with the state legislative sessions across the country. This has been, by the way, one of the worst state legislative sessions that we've dealt with in the 11 years that the Calvary Group has been in business. It has been such an onslaught of deceptive legislation from the animal rights groups. It's just been, and we knew it would be this mm-hmm. year, but it's been really rough. But thank you for bringing that up. Yes, newterritorymedia.com. You can visit the website and, you know, we welcome people to join the fight there too and get the truth out there. So thank you.
You're quite welcome. And incidentally, you're right. That's why elections matter, because they stole, and I'm, you know, there's no doubt about it. The Democrats stole the elections this year in a very, very unfair way. That's why House Bill 1 and Senate Bill 1 that are now in Congress are such an important thing because they plan on permanently sealing the fate of conservative America. And we are the majority, but unless we stand up and act like we're the majority, we'll never be the majority again. So, Debbie, I want to give you a minute because we're getting real close to time to say goodbye. I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about some of the things you're working on. And, of course, we'll do a little plug for the Red Pill Expo coming up June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Rapid City, South Dakota, where you're going to play the role of Francis Fox Piven. And I'm going to be Richard Cloward. So this ought to be fun.
We'll see how that goes. if it goes the direction they're taking us, it's going to be a disaster, Dan. Okay. So first of all, thanks. And it's always so fun to be with Mindy. You're just so full of things to do, information. And it's frightening, Mindy. It's seriously frightening. What I would like encourage people to do is educate the people. You bet. Educate the people around you. I was just in a investment conference over the weekend. I didn't fly to Florida. I was one of 95 people, chosen out of thousands to be at this conference, but I didn't make it because I've got too many animals to take care of. And that is the truth. So anyway, John Mackey, the Whole Foods owner, was there and he was a keynote speaker. And here's what he said, that he moved to being a vegan because of all the animal cruelty out there. So he defines himself as a libertarian. But so first of all, y'all, his Whole Foods stores wouldn't exist without livestock byproduct. Don't sell meat. I don't care. But we have an opportunity every time we encounter someone like John Mackey, who has a big mouth in the world and is a big influence for people. I guarantee people at this conference are now moving to a plant-based diet because they see this wealthy guy. But if they knew that every product they're touching is a livestock byproduct, they may think differently. Okay. Mm-hmm. As a result of Agenda 21, and we need more youth, I created a challenge, and Thumper, if you'll please put this up at some point, the Agenda 21 challenge. Please help these kids donate to their reward at Camp Constitution. There's a link for that too. In June, amazing family Christian camp, exposing all this stuff. But fund these teenagers. They need to be rewarded for being the only teenagers out in, I think, America, fighting, learning about Agenda 21 and doing something about it in their community. Thank you for having me. Mm-hmm.
Well, awesome. Dynamite. Thank you both. It looks like Gertz is here for the next program, but I want to thank you ladies for joining us, and we'll do this again real soon because this is an important message. We need to make sure that we let America know what the animal rights movement, what the end of private property, what Agenda 21, they're all about the same thing, and that's stripping individual rights and stripping our liberty and moving us into a one world collectivist system where everything we do from cradle to grave is controlled. And Debbie, you can attest to this. It also means a human culling that will equal 93% of the world's population. They plan on killing off most of us as they like to refer to us as useless eaters. So with that said, ladies, thank you again. I'll look forward to the next time we get together. Gert, looks like we're ready to go. Thank you for being on, and we'll see you again next week for Connecting the Dots.
Okay,
and,
thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
I thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
And I'm proud to be
be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me.
And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I
love this land.
God bless the USA.